All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer: Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app, Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And let me bring myself into the picture so I can stand next to my handsome co-host here, Doug Thornton. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we're good to go. And
We have a plethora of stories here for you. We're probably going to do this in two parts because we have too much for one broadcast. But Doug, I got something here, excuse me, that very, very interesting to me, that the IMF wrote an article. And I'll tell you, whoever wrote this should be going back to the sixth grade to repeat how to do grammar. But anyway, they wrote an article that they said that the relic of gold-backed currency is now revived. And we're talking about the return to mercantilism, folks, where you used to be in the days of exploration of the North American continent with Spain, France, and Great Britain. They could only print as much cash as they had gold in their treasury to back it up. And that's part of what the New World Order, New World Exploration was about. The conquistadors used to say, what was it? God, glory, and gold. And that was pretty much the motto of the early Jamestown settlers, too. They neglected planting food almost to their peril because they were all out looking for gold. So it's coming back. And I'm going to give you, Doug, a hypothesis that I have, a projection for the future, and then I want you to comment on it. I believe that they're crashing the dollar, obviously, on purpose. The petrodollar, you know, the Saudis were told to go ahead and say what they said and so forth. So the dollar is going to crash. The rich have been acquiring gold like crazy, as has the banks. So they'll survive. But in the interim, they're going to bring in digital currency, and that'll mark the conversion. So what would you rather have, American citizens? A failed dollar that's worthless to you? Or would you rather go digital and be able to eat your next meal? So that's what I think is coming.
Well, you know, I think everything is also talking about the destruction of the dollar. That's one of the eventualities that's supposed to come out of this, the destruction of the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on Kitco right now, and I'm looking at some of the headlines. Gold poised to be best performing asset in 2023.
It was last year.
Yep.
It outperformed every other instrument of investment.
Gold has no reason to fear the Fed, so investors shouldn't be betting against it. U.S. dollar is losing its appeal as safe haven currency of last resort. And let's go over the countries that have the most gold in the ground.
Okay, let's do it.
So Australia claims to have the most gold in the ground at 8,400 tons. And then that's followed by Russia with 6,800 tons, South Africa with 5,000 tons, and the United States with 3,000 tons. So if you called gold for gold back, we're already in the losing for that one. That's not good for us. You know, I've said this before, but years ago I talked to a guy that I knew that was a middle-ranking officer in the Army intelligence, and he warned me that the only thing that China's waiting to take us on militarily is for the IMF to degrade the U.S. dollar, and then the Chinese yuan would be the number one. And Russia said that they would back the Chinese yuan. And if they back it with gold, well, we're screwed. We're probably going to go down five or six pegs on that global scale.
Well, I think you're right. I think what you're going to see here, Doug, is that, I don't know. This is the way they're going to do it. Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, too. The reason I was hesitating, Doug, is because the North American Union is experiencing a resurgence. The heads of state of all three nations, Canada, Mexico, America, have all signed a North American Union trade agreements. Now, I don't know if that's what they're calling it, North American Union. I'm referring to what the 2008 term was when they tried and it failed before. But it makes sense they would bring in. Do you remember they tried to bring in the Amero in 2008? And you would have had to have a currency equalization like what we saw with the European Union. And what I mean by that is that if the peso was worth 11-1 to the dollar, let's say the Canadian dollar was $1.50, that meant that you had to reach a midpoint for all three currencies. And this is what all the hubbub was about. Murders took place of bankers that wouldn't capitulate in the European Union conversion. I know because I was there. Someday I'll talk about it. But the reality is this, Doug, is that America, if we would have had a currency conversion to the the peso, the Canadian dollar, the dollar all goes into the Amero now, Americans would have lost 55% of their buying power. And the rich were not positioned at that time to take that hit. They weren't heavy into metals, you know, gold and silver and so forth. So they would have taken the hit like everybody else. And they said, screw you, Bush, we're not doing this. And so it failed. And so it's back. And now you've got gold that's been hoarded by the banks. And as a consequence, they're going to go along with this crash of the dollar. Keep your gold. The digital comes in. They can stay outside the system, but everyone else will be entrapped in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And once again, the American people wouldn't have any buying power, which, you know, that greatly affects everybody except for the elite and the government. And the government would be the ones who would be able to give you your credits per month, because this is the digital dollar that we're going to. But I don't think even if we go to a digital dollar, once again, I don't have very much faith in digital assets. I think they can be seized too easily and manipulated too easily. And, you know,
That's why they're doing it.
Absolutely.
Because it's about social credit and controlling you. I mean, you know who set the tone for this? And no one ever makes this connection. And I think it's a huge oversight. Anyone that helped the truckers a year ago in Canada in the protests, if you bought someone who was a trucker protester a $20 pizza and they could show evidence of it, they took your whole financial savings out of the bank. You could have $100,000 in the bank, and for a $20 pizza, you lost it all.
Yep.
And this is how they control you with digital. So they can control your every action. And then they can also say, well, Doug, we got on record here. You got a 350 semi-automatic with four boxes of cartridges here. That's too many. You've got to turn in three or you're not going to be able to buy dinner. And this is where this is going.
Yeah. Control and capitulation. How many people do you think would actually go with that system, though?
They won't have a choice.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm telling you, they won't have a choice.
Well, I think even if you rebelled against that system, you know, if that's the only way you could pay your mortgage, your phone bill, your internet bill, if it had to be paid in the digital asset, which means your bank account has to be set up that way, which means you have to be putting money into that account some way, somehow. I mean, you're going to have a lot of people who won't be able to escape that grid then.
There is no escape once they get it in. The only escape would be a revolution, but you'd be so deprived of resources that, you know, you'd have a problem carrying out anything. This is total control. Everything will be tied into the digital. This is how they can get away with the 15-minute cities. The 15-minute cities means that you can't drive or walk or bike more than 15 minutes from your home. And everything has to be within reach, medical, recreation, work, everything. And where is that? They're doing this and they're starting this in Oxford later this year. Dublin, Ireland has announced that they're going to do this. This is the trend. This is, I don't know if you remember this too, but the Soviets used to build guard towers every 20 miles. You could only travel 20 miles from your home without permission. And that was to stop people from congregating like Lenin did to lead a revolution. And this is probably the thinking here with this. But they also don't want you to have any cars. They'll control what you can eat. I'm sorry, you can't have that red meat, but here's a Beetle Burger. I mean, the control, Doug, is absolutely incredible. And I want to share something with you, and this is going to sound like it's off the rails, but I heard the speech. I can't remember the professor's name. She's from Duke University, and she gave a speech on AI and the workplace. And she said, we can read your thoughts. All thoughts are digital images, and we can pull it up and put it on a computer. And she talked about the workplace of the future with this technology. She said, like, if there was an amorous feeling that one person had for another and office relationships were prohibited, she said that they could detect the thinking like that and that they could end up firing the person. This is how far they could carry it. She gave a lot of other examples, too, but I think that suffices to prove the point. So not only are they going to keep you from engaging in the diet you want, the recreation you want, denying you travel, but they're also going to pry into your mind with AI, and they'll penalize you for wrong thinking. This sounds bizarre, but I'm telling you, this speech was out there. I'm trying to think of where I saw it. I published the speech on my website, and I don't remember the professor's name, but I saw this. This was the most shocking thing, and she was one of the keynote speakers for future technology, and she called this Yeah, she called this hackable humans. And that's the exact phrase that Yuval Noah Harari used 5 years ago when he said that free will is over. There's no such thing as free will.
Well, with the augmented reality that they're pushing, the virtual reality, that's going to be your new workspace. So virtual and augmented. And however it is that they do it, they'll be able to know how much you're working. And then you can also, if you're working well enough by your brain waves, then you can be rewarded based off of your work tempo, which they read your brain waves. And she also said, you know, if you're not feeling good, you could send a quick text message to your brain doctor and say, hey, you know, screenshot your brain waves at that point in time and send it over there and say, hey, doc, what's going on with my brain waves? I mean, this is so far beyond 1984.
Well, I personally think that we're already there. She said we were, I wish I could recall her name, but it's kind of irrelevant. Duke professor, long brown hair, probably 40, very intelligent. But she dovetailed a lot off Noah Harari when he talked about hackable humans. And, She also said that the workplace of the future will monitor your thoughts, and you'll actually get a bonus if you had the right thoughts. But if you had the wrong thoughts, you'll be penalized. You could even be fired. And let me tell you the Pat Woods story, because this fits where this is going.
Oh, hold on. I remember one more thing before you get on the Pat Woods.
Okay.
She did say that everything that they're developing was for the government and for the corporation.
Correct.
Not for the end user.
Well, this was basically BlackRock and Vanguard related.
Yeah. And this is all about control. It's all about control.
In this country, it'll come under the ESG ratings to control you. See, ESG started out, if your corporation was carbon friendly to climate change methodology, you got a high score, you could get preferable loans and so forth, and a higher status economically. So this is how they got all these corporations to go woke, because they put wokeness in the agenda. They wrote wokeness into climate change. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but it's part of the way that you're evaluated. And so now it's going to go down to the worker level, to where worker compliant thinking will also affect your ESG score. So this is, you know, there's a lot of people in state government that are aware of this. There are 19 attorneys general that are suing BlackRock for the ESG ratings. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I wasn't tracking that, but I don't think they'll have a successful lawsuit. BlackRock is one of those corporations that's too big to fail.
It's not Carrie Lake, who's got an open and shut case for voter fraud, and she gets denied by the courts because she's a private citizen. We're talking 19 states, attorney general. This is a big deal. You know, at the end of the day, you might be right, Doug. They may end up dismissing it, but I'll tell you what. That's a lot of ammo that they're going up against. This is as good a political resistance and legal resistance against ESG as you're going to find. And if they do get around these attorneys general, there'll be a full path to implement everything they want.
Well, and that's one of the things that worries me about Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the leading guy in the world for the brain module. I don't know how else you would say it. The cerebral, what is it called? Mind link or whatever.
Oh, Neuralink.
Neuralink. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I can see where Neuralink could help people who have paralysis or who have some sort of a medical debilitating issue. But on the vastly other hand, it gives end user results and control to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like guns. You can use a gun for self-defense, to kill an animal so you can feed yourself in hunting, or you can use it to murder someone to rob them. I mean, it's how you use the instrument, but the technology is there. And people, listen, I told this to some people the other night when I was in a restaurant. They said, well, how far is the control of the globalist gone? And I said, to me, the best estimate, it's not financial. It's what they can do to you psychologically. And people didn't want to hear this. They said, oh, I think that sounds like science fiction BS. Let me say something else, too, about what you were saying with regard to Elon Musk. Attention, America. I have said this before, so I want to say it really clearly here for the record. Elon Musk is one of them. You say, well, Elon Musk wrote Twitter. Look at all that he's revealed. Elon Musk got cut out of a key electric car conference because he pissed off some globalists. They had a guy on there on the panel that manufactured 60 cars, and he aced out Elon for a position on the panel. So he was pissed, and he said, okay, I'm going to go buy Twitter, and I'm going to expose you buttholes until you let me in. So what he has, he's engaged in a strategy of progressive revelation. So let's say he releases tweets in the very beginning. Oh, this is interesting. And on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 2. Oh, that doesn't get the reaction I want to get back in the good graces of Davos and all these globalists. Okay, well, here's a 4 and here's a 6. And this is what Elon Musk is doing. He's playing information chicken with the global elite, so they let him back in. His goal is to get back in. He needs their support for SpaceX and everything else he's doing with Neuralink. And if he doesn't get that funding, he can't get the loans that he needs, he's screwed.
Well, right now the world's in a precious metals fight, and you have to have the precious metals to get the space. You got to have the gold, the platinum, the iridium, the silver. You got to have the copper.
Silver for climate change mitigation. Yeah. I agree. Solar panels. Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And Elon Musk is cut out right now. This is why he's having a temper tantrum. This is what the temper tantrum is about. Now, Bezos is competing with him, and people aren't seeing this. And it's so transparent if you know how this industry works. Bezos' girlfriend, the one, you know, he sent pictures of his private parts to on a tweet. I mean, if you remember that scandal, why he was married to his former wife. But she's a pilot. She's accomplished. She can fly all kinds of planes and helicopters. I don't know about command modules, though. I don't think she's had NASA training. But she's going to pilot a plane, a spaceship into near-Earth orbit. And the entire crew is female. Okay. Now, I think what Bezos is doing, he's sending woke signals to BlackRock and ESG and all that nonsense with the all female. And by the way, the spaceship, and I kid you not, I'm not joking. I'm not saying anything sarcastic. This is fact. The spaceship is shaped like a penis. I'm not joking. I could see you laughing, but this is absolutely the truth. And so they're sending a woke message, or Bezos is, to the globalists. Hey, I'm one of you guys. Look, I'm doing woke. I'm even putting phallic symbols in space. You know, let's show this to first graders. This will be awesome. Okay. And so he's lobbying to take SpaceX contracts away from Elon Musk and get them for himself.
And he'll probably get it too.
Yeah, this is the internal war that's going on. Doug, you've alluded to this kind of thing too, not specifically Bezos and Musk, but you have said there's the old group of the New World Order and there's the new group of the New World Order. Okay. And Elon Musk is the new group of the New World Order who overstepped his bounds. And that's why they pulled the rug out from underneath of him. And rather than negotiate and get back in good graces, he's trying to make a power play with Twitter.
Well, that's why I allude to scripture, and scripture talks about kingdoms versus kingdoms. And, you know, this is a technocracy kingdom versus the New World Order kingdom, and every government is a kingdom. So, you know, yeah, I mean, this is the New World Order elites versus the Old World Order, or the Old World Order elites. And this is the kingdoms rising against kingdoms. And then it will be ethnos versus ethnos, like the Israelis versus the Palestinians, or, you know, the Ukrainians versus the Russians, whatever you want to say it. But it's not going away, and it's only going to speed up and get worse. I think we'll see a cataclysmic combination of all this, because, you know, one of the things that they talked about at Davos is that they need to clear up space. There's too much garbage in space. And because of that, you know, they need to have like a space wrangling type of commission so that they can say who and what goes up into space. And Elon, yeah, you know, Elon may not get it anymore.
Elon,
they need his Starlink. They need his Starlink.
No, they don't. Not if they go parallel development. Well, I think Elon has pissed him off enough. They're going to bypass him. I think they're going to go parallel development, and they're going to bypass him. And Bezos is lobbying with his penis spaceship and the all-female space crew to be that guy. By the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, Bezos is going to be selling the Washington Post. Hey, listen, Doug, don't laugh when I tell you this. He's going to take that money and convert it to bread and circus. And what I mean by bread and circus, he's buying the Washington Commanders NFL football team. And I've got this from the inside from a couple people I know connected to the league. And this is no joke. He is going bread and circus. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. If you are old enough like me and your bones creak when you walk, you might be old enough to remember the 1975 movie, And I didn't appreciate it when I saw it as a kid, you know, a young person. I had to see it again when I was older to really get it. But what the movie was Rollerball, starring the late James Caan, who was a really good actor. And in the movie, six corporations ran the world. They went through the history, world wars. Then there were corporate wars after corporations took over governments. And then they established this extreme autocratic society. This guy, James Caan, was Jonathan E. He was the Michael Jordan of a sport called rollerball, kind of like the old roller derby. And it was the craze among the people. It was the bread and circus. But Jonathan E. got so good in his skills that they called him before their commission and said, "You have to retire. We can't have this much individual accomplishment. This is about the collective, and you're stepping outside the collective." Now, what they showed in the movie, this is how arbitrary this society was. Jonathan E. had lost his wife to a man in a high political position, and he just seized her. He didn't have any say. She didn't have any say. And then they used her as a bargaining chip to give back to him so he would leave his role as the all-time great player of rollerball. But here was the message of all this. This was 1975 portrayal of AI as good as they could get it. Society was controlled this way. People were allowed to be diverted in their interest to the game rollerball, and the fans were fanatical. They made Super Bowl crowds look tame. Violence in the stands, just crazy stuff. And the movie really parallels where I think Jeff Bezos is going with the purchase of the Washington Commanders. Because I said, first of all, what the hell? He controls a lot of political opinion with the Washington Post. They've done an $800 million deal with the CIA for information control and propaganda on behalf of the CIA. So he's doing quite well, thank you very much. Why would he sell the Washington Post to buy an NFL football team? And boom, rollerball, bread and circus came to mind. This is what they're looking at, Doug. They're looking at a completely controlled society, and Bezos is taking his place in space, and he's going to take his place with regard to bread and circus.
I must not have been paying attention to this. When did they stop becoming the Redskins?
When the woke crowd said that was derogatory. So the NFL forced the owner, who's a renegade owner, they're going to take the team away from him, and that's when Bezos is going to buy it. And they told him, you must change your name. So first it was the Washington Football Club. They just made it a sarcastic name to say, you know, screw you to the NFL. And then the NFL said, get a serious name. So they came up with the Washington Commanders. And Bezos is going to be the buyer once the league takes the team away from the rogue owner. But bread and circus, baby, this is where it's at right now. Did you know, I think the Broncos sold for $6.5 billion. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
It's a lot of money.
But people ought to watch two movies, Doug. They're the best predictive programming I've ever seen. In 1976, there was a movie called Network, starring Peter Finch. He won an Academy Award for this. And a network that controlled the whole media was called UBS. I mean, how funny is that? UBS. Anyway, Peter Finch character, Howard Beale, this is where the story came from. He was saying, look at the takeover of the media. I'm the only one telling the truth. I mean, this was Tucker Carlson of his day. And he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to stay under the kitchen table or under your bed hoping these globalists will leave you alone. I want you to get up out of your chair right now. Go to the window and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's where this phrase came from. And then in the end, he opens up the media. They're exposing media and government corruption, and he gets assassinated on stage.
Yeah,
people need to watch these two movies.
Yep, that's a really good movie. Yeah,
but that kind of answers your question from my perspective, somewhat about Bezos. And I will tell you this: I don't know that Tucker Carlson's going to be killed, but Rupert Murdoch's people, his sons, are going to use him until they no longer have a use for him, and they're going to kick him to the curb.
Well, there's recently another show that's out on, gosh, I want to say Amazon Prime, or maybe it's HBO. Anyways, it's it's based off a video game. I completely forgot what the name of it is. Me and my wife watched it the other day. It was pretty good, a little bit too gory for my tasting. But it was about how this intelligent fungus took over people and spread itself through biting, so zombies, right? And then yesterday, me and you were talking about some sort of fungus that's attacking and killing people, apparently, in a couple different states in America. And what I brought up to you was that, you know, what was it, back in 2018, we came across some sort of a fungus. I don't know. That's how it was described to us on the border. And we had three people in our custody. They were Cubans. It was two men and one female, all middle-aged, probably late 30s, 40s. So, you know, people who should be in fairly good health. And they came from the Colombian, I guess that's jungles, up through Central America, Mexico, and then to the El Paso sector border. And within like 3 days in our custody, all three of these people died. And it was horrible. I mean, it was horrific the way the director of the hospital that we had taken to told us how they had to be treated. They tried.
Is this where you guys thought it was Ebola?
Yeah. Well, we were warned that there was Ebola. There was like 18 yeah. different reports of Ebola on the border, but they said that this was worse because one guy had it on his hand, so they amputated because they couldn't stop it from spreading. Well, wow. Then it had moved up into the arm, and they amputated. And then it moved up in the chest cavity. And 3 days, he's dead.
I heard about this. Yeah,
the lady had it on the side of her face, and within just a matter of a day or two, I guess it penetrated into the bloodstream, and then into the blood brain barrier. She was dead, and the other guy had it around his hip, and it got into his legs, and they tried removing as much of the soft tissue that as possible that contained it, and then it got into his sternum. Guy died, and they had to incinerate everything that was inside the. It was inside the ICU, and it was a negative pressure, and they had to incinerate everything that was in it.
What was the year?
2018.
Yeah. Remember I told you in late 2013 when we first had the first droppings of the Central American invasion with immigration, and then 2014 it mushroomed. I told you about the DEA person who contacted me, and he warned me about this. He said, it was flesh-eating virus on steroids, but it didn't just stay on the flesh. It went into the organs.
Yeah.
And I heard about this in 2013, and I was dumb enough to write about it, and I got called a crazy conspiracy theorist. But you guys were dealing with this at DHS. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we transport. I mean, not just that, but you have people that had vaccine-resistant polio, tuberculosis, which this vaccine-resistant tuberculosis in 2013, 2014, and on up is what's been experimented on the Ukrainian people in the Lugansk and Donetsk region of the Donbas area, all right? Me and you have that evidence. We've been talking about it and reviewing it. So now transform a little bit further, and you have the same amount of problems that are creeping across the border. So, you know, when they say, what's wrong with, you know, the border being open? You got people from around the world seeking freedom. Well, there is something wrong with it. You have what, like Pfizer just recently came out and said, you have mutated, gene lab mutated viruses, bacteria, who the hell else knows what else. But this, you know, this is the type of stuff that we have been warning that's coming across the border, that it's now in the US, and you don't know who, what, when, where, why, or how it's here, but it is here. And eventually this will be the next COVID. And I warn people this because, and I think you and I have talked about this before, maybe off air, but what happened in 2020 is a warm up to see how far they can go with locking you down, taking you out of your job, making you work from home, you know, seeing how many buttons they can push. And then they're watching the reactions of the people, and they know, okay, next time we go live, we know what we can do, how far we can push them, how much fear we need to inject into the media and into the ears of the people of America. And then we know how long we can take America offline. If we ever have another 2020, America, the dollar will be so devalued, we will not make it back. And the only thing that would make sense then, because you don't want to spread the virus through the coins and through the money exchange, right? Remember that? The only thing that makes sense is the digital dollar. Hence, all the things we've been talking about from the beginning. And
you're right on the money with this. There's something else, too. We're going to talk about carriers here for a second. I was warned by the DEA source, who, by the way, I still have contact with today. He and Dr. Jane Orient, who was the head of the Arizona physician said this, and boy, did she take crap for it. She said this on my show, that carriers of extreme pathogens that were highly communicable were crossing the border in 2014. You remember, we had some isolated cases of Ebola that came in, but we were able to contain it. What I've been told by Border Patrol was this. This is 2014. And remember, I have two Border Patrol sources, and I have had for 9 years. And one of the sources told me that many of the Border Patrol and people that would interdict immigrants became so paranoid about pathogens they were potentially encountering that they would change clothes, shower before they'd go home. I mean, did you hear about this?
Every vehicle in the motor pool. So every motor pool is where we keep all the vehicles at. Every vehicle had hand sanitizer, Lysol, Lysol hand wipes, Clorox hand wipes. Yeah, man, you know, as many gloves as you could fit on you. We had guys wearing double, triple gloves. I wore mechanics gloves with double XL plastic gloves over it. And, you know, you did your best, really, to, how would I say this, whenever you would grab these people, you did your best to have as minimum contact as possible. Of course, whenever they're running and you have to chase after them, or they're fighting you and you have to, you know, get up close and personal with them, you couldn't do anything. But you know what we would then do? We would then put our stupid selves inside of a locked vehicle with recirculating air from the air conditioning with these people. And this was before wearing a mask. Nobody wore a mask then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if there was ever a point in time when the government should have said, hey, you guys need to be wearing these masks and not, you know, just a handkerchief over your face, which is such a joke. It would have been then, and it would have been on the border.
Let me go back in time too, because there's also another related issue to this. If you're going to bring Ebola in, you damn well better have an antidote for the preferred people. And that happened with, I'd have to look it up in my articles. I wasn't prepared to talk about this tonight. But there was a vaccine that was developed in 2012. And I published the results. The name of the lab started with a Q, and I apologize for not having it. The lab said, we have a cure for Ebola, blah, 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 blah. And I got the results. The research was weak. Remember, this is my wheelhouse. They only had 16 cases of treatment, and they didn't publish. In research, there's what you call statistical validation, where you run what's called a probability analysis. How likely are your results due to luck? And you get an equation that looks like P equals less than 0.05. That's the acceptable level. What that means is, if you keep running the results, you're going to get that same number, 0.05 or less. And that means your results are only due to luck 95% of the time, 5% of the time or less, 95% validation for your results. And they never came up with a level of significance for the P equals factor on the research that I could find. But they had 16 cases that they said they had rehabilitated Ebola people with the vaccine that they had developed. And, you know, while you're talking here, I'll see if I can't get into my notes and find this, because that told me that I was really concerned. You know how shoddy the vaccine research was, right? It was only done on animals, no humans. Well, this was almost as bad. And I thought, okay, what are they going to do with this bad science? Well, I was smart enough to publish the article, because soon it was scrubbed from the internet. And I was able to find the data, the research results, and analyze it. And I wrote articles that were critical of the research. And about a month after I wrote my first article, everything had disappeared. And here's where I'm going to go with this. This is kind of like a leap to the end. You go with Wei Fang's speech in 2017, and John Moore and I talked about this the other day. Wei Fang was the defense minister, still is, of China. He had a speech that was leaked from the Central Planning Committee of the CCP, and it basically concluded with, we're going to have to kill every American with race-specific bioweapons, or just bioweapons in general. And he said, we will not do cohabitation with the United States. We need to occupy them for their resources. This is official Chinese policy. So I thought, well, maybe this guy's just a nutcase. And I went and researched this, Doug. The two previous defense ministers going back to 2003 said exactly the same thing. So this is official Chinese policy to exterminate the United States. And this is why when I saw this Ebola research, possible vaccine, I thought, oh boy, here it comes.
Yeah, and there's nothing that has worked quite as well as COVID.
Well, I agree with you. It's a laboratory to measure human response so they can clean up their mess the next time they do this. I totally agree with that.
Well, and that's what the Obamas and Bidens got all caught up in Ukraine. And once again, we have some material that we're working on with this. But from 2013 and 14 and to 2016, you had a lot of problems with Ukraine and a lot of big name companies, corporations from America that has to do with biomedical research. And they're doing what? Gain of function research on Ukrainians. And this is the most dastardly part of this, is that they were paying Ukrainians based off of the severity of the virus or the bacteria. So if it was something kind of mundane, here's $100. If it was something really bad, what? Here's a $500 to do it. I mean, we on the border, we were dealing with people with the plague, MERS, SARS, H1N1, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, you know, all different types of rare diseases that we didn't even have names for. This freaky stuff that was out of the jungle that was eating people. And, you know, and now they're saying be on the rise, or excuse me, be on the lookout, because here on the rise is another potential pandemic that's going to be worse. And if I'm correct, when we were doing this investigation into this a couple months ago from Bill Gates's latest thing, where he's saying, hey, there's going to be another like event 201, but it's like a 301, that this one is going to be caused by terrorists, you know, and that guy's terrorist.
He's a terrorist.
Well, he's a pedophile, you know.
That's why his wife left him, I know.
Yeah, well, she ain't no better. I say be on the lookout for that. I say the world is at the right point in time when we need another 9/11, and I don't want it. I'm just saying be expecting it. And if 9/11 didn't grasp the people the way the medical affliction stuff did, the way the virology did, well, then that's what they'll go with. They'll go with another weapons-based pandemic. And that weapons-based pandemic was more propaganda than it was pandemic. The next one will be more pandemic than propaganda, because you'll already believe the hype.
I would agree. People are going to say, oh, this is the boy that cried wolf again. So they need something to get our attention. I agree with that.
And kids, this is the part me and Timothy Alberino talked about this. The thing that we worry about the most, obviously us fathers, right, Dave, is that there could be something potentially hazardous that directly affects a child's immune system. So you know what that would mean. That means that you will force the parents to capitulate. That's a scary thought, man. When you,
no, that's when an excellent point. That is
when
such
you are
a good point.
Engineering a virus that attacks the most innocent of us. You know, I mean, now you're pulling on the heartstrings of parents. They'll walk right into your FEMA camp to protect
you,
their kids.
You and Tim came up with this, because I have never heard this before, but I think you're right on the money.
Yeah. We were talking about it. And I told him, I was like, look, this is one of the reasons why Doug doesn't fly anymore. I used to fly because I flew armed as a federal agent. We had to. But, you know, if you understood what was on that airplane with you, you wouldn't do it. And you and I have joked about this before. If I had to go to Maryland or Maine, if I had to go to Maine, let's say I'm putting on an active shooter course up there in Maine, people wanted to get some training, Doug was going to plan his route and take a week to drive to Maine. That's how much I do not want to be on a plane. Because how do you know you're not going to sit next to the lady with Ebola? How do you know you're not going to sit next to the dude with the latest and greatest disease that, you know, Frankenstein Fauci's been cooking up? And they never stop the gain of function research. So, you know, there's going to be another outbreak. It's going to happen. Outbreak, by the way. Outbreak. Release is what I would call it.
Yeah. By the way, did you know in 2014, I had found several studies that showed that Ebola was aerosolized?
We were told about that when we were on the border. We were heading to the border, and one of our agents who was gathering the intel for us for cartel operations on the border had met up with the CDC representative for the border. And we were discussing that amongst ourselves, like, how do we protect ourselves to make sure that we're not bringing this crap back to the hotel room and then back to your family? And they're like, take extreme precaution, extreme precaution. And, you know, we were deployed there. We were on a special operations unit. We were deployed over there to assist the Border Patrol. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, what about the damn Border Patrol who's here every single day? And, you know, you get complacent, you get tired of stuff, and you drop your guard. And the next thing you know, you got the sniffles. And then the next thing you know, you're running a high fever and you're around your family, and then your kids are bringing it to school, and there's how the pandemic spreads. You know, I mean, it truly could be an economy killing, nation killing outbreak should you choose to weaponize biological agents. And China has the ability. Russia has the ability. America has been working on it with the Russians and the Chinese in Ukraine. So, you know, for any politician to come out and to say, nah, this is all malarkey, like one of these things that you and I are working on right now, that is such a betrayal of trust of the American people. When this stuff hits, and it's not an if, when this stuff hits and it starts to be propagandized here in America, by that point in time, it would be too late. It'd be too late to act. The panic will start. The economy will start doing one of these again. You know, people will start getting banned from going to school, to work. I mean, it's a perfect catastrophe that you can't avoid. They'll shut the government down, shut the state down, shut the local governments down.
You think it's going to be brought in by terrorist hit squads?
I think that'll be an excuse. I think that'll be an excuse.
You don't think it'll be a methodology?
I think it could be anything. I say it doesn't matter what the delivery agent is. If we know what the agent is, obviously the virus or the bacteria, whatever. The fact that we're working on something that's so deadly that we have to keep it at a level 4 facility, that's bad enough, because these are world ending plagues. And we're sitting here tinkering with it with like CRISPR-9 technology, like some kid in his basement trying to get his gecko to glow a different color. You know, We are meddling with things that we should not be meddling with. If anything, what's more dangerous, nuclear devices or biological? At least with a nuke, there's a blast radius, and everything within the blast radius is vaporized. And then, you know, it's done. Don't go in that area for the next 1,000 years. However, with bio, you take these things out of a confined space, and then they get into nature. And this was the problem with COVID, is that they kept creating new variants because it mutates. And Pfizer is now saying, oh yeah, well, you know, we're actually making it mutate, so then we can have a vaccine. So not only are you going to capitalize on the thing that you're making to kill people, but it's also going to kill people. And then whenever it gets out into the wild, as they say, it's going to alter itself, and then your vaccine is nothing anymore. But everybody's going to take that second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth dose of it. Recently, I was listening to someone talk about the vaccine stuff, and this is the guy that's supposed to be replacing Fauci soon. And he's like literally worse than Fauci. He's a little gremlin. He's literally worse than Fauci. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter how many vaccines you've had, but when was the last time you had a vaccine? That's the newest saying.
Let me share something with you here that dovetails right into what you're saying. And I'm on a search for that vaccine, and I cannot find it, but I will eventually. But listen to what I came across. Back in 2014, the CDC has ulterior motives in diagnosing and subsequent treatment of Ebola. The CDC and their Ebola patent is traded on Dun and Bradstreet, and I have the link right here in this article. And the CDC, and I made this statement here in this article I wrote, they have become a for-profit corporation. But here's the thing, they patent Ebola. Now, here's a catch, and I went and I researched the hell out of this, Doug. You can't patent something that's natural. You have to do something that's modified, which means the CDC has already modified Ebola. That's the only way they could legally patent it. But you can't read the patent filing on how they justified it. It's hidden. It's not available for public consumption. So that tells you, this is why back in 2014, I was writing some what some people might call alarmist articles. I said, man, they could send hit squads to cities. The CDC is going to make a link. They control the profits to everything with this. And here's the other thing, too. Oh, I didn't even think about this. If you get Ebola and the CDC owns Ebola, they then own you and they own your treatment.
Well, you remember what happened was back in 2005 with Obama, then Senator Obama, going and visiting Ukraine and seeing all the biomedical stuff.
I didn't know that. Tell us about that.
Well, there's a... Let's save it for the next one because I'll have everything thrown together. There's a guy on Twitter who put a bunch of like 10 points together that he's linking a lot of stuff. And now I'm going to start linking stuff to what he's putting in there to show validity to what this guy's talking about. And we'll save it for tomorrow. But
okay,
what's going on in Ukraine, if you recall, John Kirby said that it's malarkey. The Biden administration is not doing anything. The United States isn't doing anything bioweapons labs in Ukraine, right? Remember he said that. Yeah. Well, he recently had to come out and say, okay, we are doing stuff, and but it's for pandemic prevention purposes.
Yeah, it could be. It could be vaccine related.
Weaponizing tuberculosis.
There you go. Gain of function. Yeah.
Gain of function.
Well, let me tell you what I think. When I did the research on this in 2014, and I had a lot of help from my DEA source and some medical people he put me in contact with, including Dr. Jane Orient, what I found was the most likely thing they would combine Ebola with would be smallpox because of the rapidity of the spread. But let me tell you, here's something else I found. Folks, if you think we're talking out of our butt, I'm going to quote directly here from the Federal Register. Human Ebola virus species and composition and methods thereof. And the patent number is CA space 241523 space capital A1. And they give the same thing for publication number, application number. There's a PCT number. I'm looking here at the summary of invention for the patent. They list the inventors, Jonathan S. Towner, Stuart Nickel, so forth. And it's all right here, folks. So, and the CDC is the owner of Ebola, the owner of Ebola. And we also have private ownership here with the global polio eradication. And I said that it was owned by a shell corporation controlled by Bill Gates and Michael Bloomberg. And this is back in 2014.
Hey, listen to this. CDC is now issuing a warning to stop using eye drops after one death and dozens of infections that are being reported. So eye drops is enough for the CDC to come out and say, hey, no more red eyes and clear eyes, guy, okay? Don't use that crap anymore.
Why?
Well, because there's been one death. One uno mas death. But yet, how many hundreds of thousands or millions of people have died from the vaccine? There's an NFL player a week dying. You know what I mean? The hubris, the audacity of the CDC to come out and say stuff like this to scare the American people more and more and more. And that's what this is. This is the fear factor game of Joe Rogan all over again.
What do you mean? Go ahead and expand on that.
Well, every week there's something new to worry about. Have you seen something good to boast about with this government or with the world? Everything has come down to, how do I control you? How do I control your movement? How do I control your thinking? How do I control your speaking? How do I control your right to self-defense? How do I control your right to spending money? How do I control your education? How do
digital.
I control? Yeah. How do I control your household? How do I control your sexual orientation or what your gender is? And then it'll be, how do I control your country? And honestly, everything that we've been talking about is just another.
It's kind of interesting. This shift in discussion here led me here, and I'm simultaneously going through my old files. Here, let me look at the date on this. This is going to shock you. I was wrong in my interpretation, but I was correct about the events. Wait till you hear this, Doug. Here's a subtitle in an article I wrote in 2014. Vaccine madness is accelerating. And I went through about how, and I linked this all to Ebola, because this was the rage then. And I said, Ebola vaccines have two goals, depopulation and making money. Does this sound familiar for today? Then it gets better. It even gets better. Here's another subtitle. Mandatory vaccines will commence in the schools. And I went through proposed legislation in Alabama, New York, Georgia, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Vermont, Illinois, Massachusetts. And I went through all these bill numbers, and it was all about, if you don't take these vaccines for Ebola or polio, you do not go to school. Does this sound familiar for 2020? This was the dry run. They did this under the shield of Ebola, knowing that they were going to do something earlier. And let me give you a time frame on this. And I'll go back to what I've said many times on our interview. Both Paul Preston and I have information that Hunter Biden and Devin Archer accompanied on Air Force Two a biological, pathological shipment of an unknown origin. And we believe it to be COVID. It went from Ukraine to the Wuhan lab. And all six crew members of Air Force Two ended up dying unnatural deaths. Paul Preston documented that. I'm not the guy to give you that. I'd have to refer you to Paul's work. But when I look at this here, this stuff here with Ebola and all that they were doing for preparation with schools and public required vaccines for different professions, it's everything they implemented in 2020. So what I'm saying, Doug, is all these things they came up with legislatively, what came into reality 6 years later, but for a different pathogen other than Ebola, it was COVID.
Think where we'll be.
They rehearsed it. They rehearsed it is what I'm telling you.
They think where we will be in 2030.
Yeah. Well, I don't even want to think that far ahead unless we can fight this. Here's another thing that came out. The last subtitle in the article is people will be issued an I-9 card. This was part of the legislation in many of these states. An I-9 card was a vaccine passport. This is 2014. And I wrote here, I have 12 pages of notes that I could put in here, but just suffice it to say, here are the links and people can go read this for themselves. We just uncovered the blueprint for how they imposed the lockdowns, mandatory vaccines. This is where it was done.
Well,
we just made the people, you're listening to this right now, discovery made from past research I did to what happened in 2020. It's identical.
Remember, there was going to be no vaccine passports for America.
Yeah. You want to say that again?
Yeah.
The bottom line is, Doug, is we were totally screwed. And this is Obama administration stuff. And you know what else went on during this time? Is Jade Helm 15 and 16 following this 2014 year. And what Jade Helm 15 and 16 were basically about lockdowns of population. And also Jade Helm 16 focused highly on fighting ex-American troops. They called them ex-guerrilla chieftains that were former military that would rise up against a tyrannical government. And so they said, we have to put these people down. And they did exercises mostly in Texas on this. This is all the same time frame, and this is all Obama. I have video somewhere in my notes of U.S. forces fighting against international forces at Camp Grayling. I have the video, the war game. And this was Obama. See, this is what I think too, Doug, and I've said this many times. Obama did all this stuff, all this work, the Ebola stuff, the Jade Helm 15, 16, Executive Order 13603, where the government can take everything if the president declares an emergency and that's all it takes. The U.S. Defense Authorization Act, that they can imprison you permanently or kill you for without due process. This is all Obama. And I said this too. I said when Hillary Clinton gets to be president, she will invoke all the things that Obama did. He was the eighth inning setup pitcher, and Hillary Clinton was to be, to use a baseball term, the ninth inning closer, and she would have implemented these programs, and that was the plan. But along came Donald Trump, and now we got Joe Biden. Look at 2020, the lockdowns, all this stuff. He's picking up where Hillary Clinton would have done in 2017.
Well, we used to say that Hillary Clinton would be the one to enact all this, and then they'd take her out of power. Well, Joe Biden is enacting all of it, and now it looks like they're about to take him out of power. So who comes next?
Kevin McCarthy.
Or I'll tell you one, Jack Posobiec was actually talking about this on Tim Pool IRL tonight. He thinks it's going to be Newsom.
Yeah, the rumor is Newsom. Okay, now I agree with him. That's my number two possibility. But Newsom would have to come in through, well, maybe not. Maybe not. Let's say Kamala goes
first. Vice president.
Yeah, if Kamala went first, Newsom could be appointed to be vice president, and then Obama goes and Newsom is the president. That's possible. But there's another path, too, and this has been my preferred path. I'm going to have to go back and consider what Posobiec said because it makes sense. But I see, you know, Kamala and Joe going at about the same time. Rhino Kevin McCarthy, who's pretending to be a conservative now and invoking this facade of being a conservative speaker, he gets in and he ushers in all this crap. And see, he'll block Trump from running for president in 2024 because he'll be the incumbent. And that means DeSantis is eliminated, too. And that means any populist uprising from the public will not be realized because McCarthy will be in charge. And here's another reason why I believe this. McConnell, McCarthy, and McDaniel all took FTX money. They all take Chi-Com money. McDaniel, the head of the RNC, she's a Romney. And she's a total rhino, and she has purposely butchered three elections that hurt America First candidates, 2018, 2020, and 2022. And then you look at, like, in my state, in Maricopa County, Chairman Bill Gates of the Maricopa Supervisors and the election head, Stephen Reicher for Maricopa County, started a PAC to block the election of America First candidates in Arizona, rhino Republicans, going after America First. And this affected Carrie Lake and so forth. The Democrats didn't do as much election interference as the Rhino Republicans did. So what I'm saying to you, Doug, is the leadership has been lined up to control the Republican Party from the national level down to the county level. And McCarthy gets in, it's lock, stock, and barrel. This is a uniparty, and the Democrats are controlled by the same people as control the Democrats. The Republicans are controlled by the same people as the Democrats.
There's another event here that's being connected by narratives. For these things to take place, what else is going to be coming up? Riots. Riots are going to be coming back for the next election process.
Well, Antifa is already rearing their ugly head in places like Memphis.
And so did Al Sharpton. And what was it that Al Sharpton talked about? Getting rid of qualified immunity with the George Floyd Police Reform Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll tell you this much. In 2020, when they talked about getting rid of qualified immunity, it scared the hell out of us as law enforcement. Because qualified immunity means that as long as I'm within my scope of my duties as a law enforcement officer, if I arrest you, Dave, for whatever reason, and you resist and you get hurt during the point of time of the arrest, as I affect the arrest, you get hurt. You can't sue me because I'm doing my job and my agency covers me because of the ability that I have qualified immunity. As long as I'm acting within good faith and I am objectively reasonable with what I'm doing. However, take away qualified immunity, and that means now anybody for any reason can personally sue a law enforcement officer. Guys won't be out there on the street doing their job. They won't be, because any drug dealer, cartel guy, mafia guy, gang member, whatever, random, you know, person who decides to be a criminal that day, they get busted up or whatever, or it could even be false. If I arrested you for whatever, and I'm taking you down to the jail for processing, in between the time that I'm calling in to the control center, I'm marking the time, the date, and the mileage. And by the time I, you know, deposit you into the jail, you could say that I did whatever to you during that point in time, and you could sue me for it. And now I have to provide my own lawyers. This is going to be a huge contestant of a problem. I don't think the Supreme Court would pass that, but hell, who knows nowadays. But you would see law enforcement at a standstill for a period of time, and you would see crime going through the roof. I mean, it would be anarchy.
Yeah. You know, along the lines of Ebola again, as an agent for dispersal, this is what I think is coming. In February of 2021, the World Health Organization reported, and Fauci and the NIH also backed this up, that Ebola is effectively hemorrhagic fever. And then they go on and they talk about what would cause an immediate spread where the population would have a 44% chance of being infected. And it was something they called hemorrhagic smallpox. Remember I said smallpox was going to be used to exacerbate the spread of Ebola?
Well, as a delivery agent.
Yeah, they're saying here, let me just give you the four summary points here. The reason you'd want to go hemorrhagic smallpox, shorter incubation period, more severe prodromal symptoms with high fever, severe headache, and abdominal pain, development of a dusky arrhythmia after illness onset, followed by extreme skin and mucus hemorrhages, and then you begin to hemorrhage out of every orifice. Death occurs by the fifth or sixth day after the rash appears, and this is the combination of the smallpox lesions combined with the Ebola effects. And the cause of death for most people is multi-organ failure with profound toxemia. And that was the summary of why you would want to see hemorrhagic smallpox combined because of the lethality I just mentioned here. This is pretty – listen, I'm telling you, 2014 was the year where they practiced for all the shit that they were going to do to us.
And now we're just kind of in a sit-back-and-wait mode. Sit back, wait, and react, which is the thing that as Americans we suck at the most is the reaction part.
What do you think? I think it's coming sooner rather than later. What they have, let's go back to my FEMA friend that I've talked about. And, you know, he bugged out in 2012. But he told me that we have, his specialty was counter bioterrorism. And he told me that we had bioweapons that the rest of the world had no clue. He said, we're so advanced and so forth. And that really led to his bugging out because he knew so much about the weapon systems. He said if they ever enacted it, he could be killed to keep him from talking. And he was literally afraid for his life. And so he bugged out to an area I won't mention with like-minded people. But I asked him, I said, well, what would be the cause of the deep state to unleash such a thing through FEMA or the CDC? And he said, populism, the rise of populism is in America now. This was only 2012. Keep in mind, Doug, this was 4 years before Donald Trump. And now we have America First, MAGA. So is populism peaking? It's certainly bigger than it was in 2012. And he said that populism would be what would bring people down. That's what they were told in their briefings. So that's why I think this is coming. It certainly will happen before the 2024 election, because America knows they got screwed on the elections in 2022. They know the midterms were a sham, a facade, and the people are rising up and people are demanding election integrity. And it's only going to get worse as the election approaches and we become poor as a nation and people are going to be pissed off about the status of America. So they got to have something that will quell this populism. And I think we've just, you know, happened upon what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, that I think ought to be mentioned here is the ESF 8 through 18. It's something I exposed a long time ago, 2013, medical quarantine camps. And some of it was based on an executive order from George Bush. Later, Obama came along and updated the executive order and made it more inclusive. They can put you away for anything. You don't have to have a demonstrable, communicable, dangerous disease. You could have the sniffles. You could have an asthma attack. You could have anything that's not a threat to someone else, but they could confine you. And what I researched on this were these camps they'd send you to. They went into exquisite detail. This was HHS, Human Health Services, and the United Nations that would be part of this. And they went into detail about how they transport the affected person to the camp, how they'd be received, all this detail. Here's what was missing. There were 17 agencies listed as participating agencies. Now, remember, this is medical quarantine. There wasn't one medical institution listed. No CDC, no NIH. It was all DHS, FBI. You get the idea. These weren't medical camps. These were extermination camps.
Here's one thing I want to bring up, and you just triggered a memory of mine. Europe got rid of the ability to buy vitamins over the counter. All right. The vitamins over the counter is one of the things that people were using, like zinc, magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin D, to help combat against COVID. Colloidal silver was another one. My family, we use colloidal silver. I remember U.S. Congress, maybe a couple years ago, maybe sooner than that, they were talking about getting rid of actually many over-the-counter drugs, over-the-counter vitamins. Could you imagine if they did that and then this thing spread? Disease spread, they would take away the ability for the American people who were not prepared. They would take away that ability, and man, you'd have people affected even more then, which would make you turn to the government solution.
That explains why they went so hard after ivermectin prescribers in the medical profession.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you're right on the money with that. In fact, we've just signed an agreement for a new North American Union. They don't have a name for it yet. But we've agreed in principle between Trudeau and Biden and AMLO, Mexico, to form a three-member nation, eventually one currency, one everything. When they tried this before under Bush, the Wall Street wasn't heavily invested in alternative currencies like Bitcoin or gold or anything like that. So they tried this thing called Codex Alimentarius, and they were putting it into the North American Union and their agreement. It was called SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership. And in this agreement, they said, we're going to take the currencies and unify them under something called the Amero. Well, under the Amero, as I said, America would have lost 55% of their buying power. And the Wall Street just went ape crap over this. And they said, we're not doing this. Now, had they been vested in gold or something else, they might have been fine. And as we said at the top of the broadcast, okay, now you got the banks and Wall Street heavily vested in gold. They can sidestep this. They can sidestep Codex Alimentarius. And what that does, it does what's happened in Europe. They can take away all natural health care. So anything you could do to combat a virus, you know, like ivermectin, that would now be controlled by the government. It wouldn't be for private usage.
Yeah, in Germany, pseudoscience.
Right. Well, in Germany, let me give you one example of this. In Germany, you can't walk up to the drugstore and buy a bottle of vitamin C. You have to go get a doctor's appointment, get a prescription, and then fill it. And a bottle of vitamin C in Germany, and this is pre-pandemic, I don't know what it'd be now, but a bottle of vitamin C in Germany costs between $80 to $100. And this is where they were going with Codex Alimentarius, and they were going to go single currency unification and all. And that's when the Wall Street said, hell no, we ain't doing this. And they had to drop it. It was just under Bush, George W. Bush, who was also a POS. And this is what's coming. They're reviving this again, and this is also a stepping stone to world government. You've regionalized Europe. China's going to conquer Asia. They're going to regionalize China, South America, Africa up for grabs. But eventually, they'll be regionalized under somebody, and eventually, you just blend into the new world order.
Well, I would like to show something for the viewers. And for all the listeners that are out there for this this podcast, for those of you who don't see the viewing of this, there's something that me and my wife, my wife's the one who found it. She's very big into holistic medicine, but she found something called Counterattack Immune Support. It's on Amazon, and it's by a company called Rainbow Light, and it is vitamin C, zinc, and three targeted blends of overall immune support. I want to show the picture of what this looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that we were taking and that we got advised to take. And we know a bunch of other people who are taking it. And that's what helped us.
Are you talking about DHS?
Well, I can't say that, but there were people that I knew that were taking that and it worked. It worked well. You know, we do our best to buy three bottles a month of it.
Okay.
You know, and I say that because it had enough of the blend of the vitamins to help re-kickstart your immune system. And also, when all this stuff was going on, we started to take it as like a precautionary thing to build up the immune system already. And, you know, guys, you got to do what you can do. I always suggest people to do your research, consult your physician as to what you can and cannot take. But, you know, when we were left to our own devices, people turned to everything. I mean, holy shit, the stuff that people were wearing in Walmart or in the grocery store, like scuba gear, you know, people were wearing some of the craziest stuff. There's this one lady that every time she'd stop and walk around, she'd spray Lysol all around her. You know, people were fighting over vitamins, fighting over formula for children, fighting over toilet paper. You know, when there's fighting over food and dog food and cat food, when they're fighting over the last bottle of water, it's too late then to prepare. So, you know, that's one of the things that Dave and I talk about all the time. Prepare now. Get prepared now. For one thing, being in shape is one of the best things for preparedness, overall preparedness that you can do. Having your body in good shape, not being morbidly obese, being very active and being mobile helps you out greatly in all things, not just your immune system, but for many other reasons. That and, you know, having that stockpile of food at your house is not for conspiracy theorists. It's not for people who are crazy and they live in their underground bunkers. The effing government is the biggest buyer of all this stuff, of stockpiles of medicine and vitamins, of protein sources, of the stockpiles of the refrigerated food the survival food. And yet they'll make fun of you for doing it. No, man, you need to take care of yourself. You need to learn to self-rescue, as we say, and don't wait for the government handout. By that point in time, when you get a government handout, that means they've already started to issue the ration cards, and you don't want to be on that list. Once you start getting the ration cards, you invite openly the government to come into your house and inspect your house to see how much food you got. Maybe you made a little too much food this week with your garden. We'll take what we need and you get to keep for, you know, this week. So that's what communist Russia did. That's what communist China does. And that will be America's future. It will be it. We don't have a choice in that.
Well, I always say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And there's more too.
Training. But, get training. That's another one.
I agree. The bottom line is I have looked through my database here as we've been doing the show from 2014. Doug, it is so clear this was the rehearsal for what's going on now. And they did phase one in 2020. Now they're coming back for the revamp and the final push.
2024 is going to be crazy.
Well, they're not going to let it get to the election. I'm going to predict that right now. And the Newsom thing, well, listen, let me tell you, Posobiec, however you say his name, Jack Posobiec, he's on the money with a couple things here. I believe these documents, except for the Ukraine biolabs and their dealings with China through Ukraine, I believe that those documents Biden did take, but all the other boxes of documents that would fill up a trailer, I don't think he took them. I think they were planted. And who would have known to call the authorities on this and get the press involved? None other than the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She would have had the intelligence contacts to be able to do it. It's either her or Hillary Clinton, and I think it's Nancy Pelosi. And here's why. Because Nancy Pelosi's nephew is Gavin Newsom, and this might have been the path she was creating for him to become the president. And that's why this alternative theory has some merit to it.
And Obama is the facilitator of it all.
I would say he inherited the oversight. Because when I go back and I look at the quarantine camps and all this other stuff, George Bush began the push. The Patriot Act, we could control everything. He was the one that started the North American Union. Everything that leads into this started with Bush. And I actually think that you're right on the money, though, that Obama inherited and expanded it. See, people need to go look up Executive Order 13603, and I'll just say a couple of things about it. It was a 2011 executive order by Obama. And in it, they can seize all control of food, and they write two pages on what constitutes food. And it's everything from seeds to whatever they want to say it is. The other thing is, too, is they had two different kinds of drafts, like military draft. They had two different kinds of draft that were specified in 2011. One of them would be run by Selective Service, and that's your traditional drafting. But now it contains women as well as men. The other one was to be done by the Department of Labor. And I was looking at it and I go, hey, what the hell? Why is the labor involved in drafting people? And then it went on to say, I think it's Section 501, if I remember right, but it went on to say that people of exemplary talent will be conscripted to work in camps without compensation. In other words, it's slave labor camps. And it's right there in the executive order, folks. You can go to my website and you could put this in. Executive Order 13603, and you could put down slave labor. And you go to the commonsenseshow.com to find that. I detail that, and it's right there. I take right from the Federal Register of Executive Orders, and it's all right there. And Doug, this is what's coming. This is what Obama laid down for the future.
Who built the V-2 rocket factory?
The Nazis.
No, the Jews, the slave.
Yeah. Well, the slave labor. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But you're right. But, who controlled it is what I was answering.
What did he do? He got engineers. He got the actual guys who knew the Masons, the guys who not like the Freemasons, but the actual Masons guys. He got the actual skilled labor to build it, to construct everything, to put together the rockets. It's what you're talking about. Remember how he said the Fourth Reich never died out. It's here. And I'll go further back than you did. None of this could have occurred. None of this could have ever occurred if 9/11 hadn't happened. If 9/11 didn't happen, we would not be where we're at right now.
Well, that led to the Patriot Act and all the other acts that followed. Yeah, you're right. Hey, Doug, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I found the vaccine information.
All right, let's do it.
Here it is. Vaccine number one called GSK. And it says GSK vaccine will be completed from start to finish in 5 short months. And this was a projection that was published by, this is the minor one, CDC, NIH, and FDA. Okay, now here's the big one. It didn't start with a Q. I don't know why I thought Q. Vaccine number two. And I published all the data on this because that you can't find this on the internet, folks, but I have the data because I saved it when I found it. What you're not being told about Crucell's website, Crucell developed an Ebola vaccine in collaboration with the Vaccine Research Center of the NIH and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, Fauci's two organizations he headed. It has been shown to protect monkeys against the virus with a single dose of the vaccine. Under the terms of the agreement with the VRC, Crucell has an option for exclusive worldwide commercialization rights to the Ebola vaccine. Well, that's Crucell, but they're under the umbrella of the CDC. And remember, the CDC owns the patent for Ebola. And then I have down here links, and I'm not going to click on the link because I don't want to lose the page, but I bet you the link is a dead link. It says Crucell's Ebola entered phase one in quarter three of 2006. Two groups of 16 volunteers, remember I said it was 16 people, enrolled and were vaccinated. The study showed safety and immunogenicity at the doses evaluated. In other words, it worked. In 2008, Crucell secured an NIAID and NIH award to advance the development of Ebola and Marburg vaccines with the ultimate aim of developing a multivalent flow virus vaccine. In other words, one vaccine fits all purposes. That's what they were doing. The award provided funding up to $30 million and additional options worth another $40 million. And then I sent people to Crucell's website. The problem is now is Crucell scrubbed their website, but they're the ones that did the research. And I come down to here. It was on the Wayback link, and I found it on September 17th, 2014, after they scrubbed it. And I have the link, but now they've scrubbed the Wayback Machine. So in other words, folks, what they have is the elite will get to escape what they're going to do to us because they have the vaccine for Marburg. And that gets you into hemorrhagic fever, smallpox, and Ebola. They have the vaccines for this. That's what a multivalent vaccine is it means multiple elements are treated with this vaccine. and they scrubbed everything from this. And but I did take snapshots here of this screenshots, and I published them here, and it's all here. Let me give you the title of the article. People can go look this up on my website. The publication date is October 14th, 2014, and I published it at 5:22 a.m., and that would have been Mountain Time. And the article is entitled, "Will the Real Ebola Vaccine Stand Up? Exposing a Major Cover-Up," because the CDC went to great lengths to prevent the release of this. And then I found evidence they actually followed up and they were creating a second vaccine when everything went dark. So I had it right here. They were doing a second vaccine research, and then all of a sudden I couldn't find anything on this. And the second vaccine research was the vaccine number one I mentioned, GSK. So, Doug, I have this good to write. I mean, this is dead to write here. This is irrefutable what I have here. Now, the links, no doubt, will be scrubbed. So you click on the links here. Let me just do one here for Bill Gates Global Fund that was involved in this. Surprise, surprise, right? Let me see if this opens in a new window. Well, surprisingly, it did. And this actually took you to HIV vaccine development, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, that's what I got there, Doug. This is I'm not bragging. I'm saying this is an amazing article because it exposes what they did, and then it shows the cover up because all the links go dead.
And there you have it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I didn't know we were going to land on this square tonight. This is kind of cool thing about doing shows with Doug. We don't stick to a script. We said, okay, we're going to start talking about hackable humans and that very thing that we started with. And we're going to talk about the emergence of gold and why they're going to bring in gold to avoid digital and blah, 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 you know, for the elite. But we kind of blended into this. Doug, this is pandemic number two. I guarantee you there's too many similarities here to the schools, to the professions that would have to take a vaccine. It's all right here on my website from 2014 research. So I would recommend, guys, you do this. If you really want to become immersed in this, go to thecommonsenseshow.com and put in vaccines for Ebola. And there'll be some stuff that it won't apply. It'll take you to 2020 and so forth. And I talked about the lockdowns, but a lot of it will apply, and you'll find what I had put in here, and you'll find all these links. There's no question this is what's coming. Doug, I need to systematically organize this, and we need to put this out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the problem is I got about 50 articles to go through. I'm surprising myself here because I thought I was exposing immediate intent to distribute Ebola and cause a pandemic. I was saying that in 2014 because it was all lining up that way. What I didn't realize is this was a dress rehearsal for the time we live in now.
And it's only going to get worse.
It is. Well, this is the longest show in the history of the Common Sense Show. But I think some of you are saying, holy crap, these guys are insane, or we should be scared poopless and do something about it.
Well, what I would like to tell people is you're not going to find this type of commentary anywhere else. I think me and Dave do a fantastic job as our duo.
If we say it ourselves, right?
Yeah, from the little brother to the big brother. I would have to say that we do a pretty good job at this. But, hey, you know, if you like the show, please like, share, subscribe. Make sure that you are going to thecommonsenseshow.com and that you are keeping up on the things that Dave's posting every day on there. And also, if you could, please go to Rumble and subscribe to the Doug and Dave Intel Report. That's all one word. And show us some love on there. I have the American Vindicta Show. It's on GS Radio, Rumble. It's on YouTube. It's from Monday to Friday. So you can catch both of our shows, and then we compile what we know together into the Intel Report. And there's no one out there that does what me and Dave does.
Well, I guarantee you, this is not being covered anywhere in America today. No one is saying this is what's coming for number two in the pandemic. And I'm not beating my own drum here. What I'm just saying is I discovered this accidentally because I was trying to look for the name of Crusell Laboratories for the people that developed of Ebola vaccine. And on the journey of finding it, the dots started to connect. And I started to say, oh my gosh, this is just like 2020. And I started looking, and I go, they planned this back in 2014. This was the dress rehearsal. And like I said, we weren't planning on finding this. We can't say we were so smart that we developed this show beforehand, and here it is, because I was looking for Crusell Laboratories. I found all my old research that seems to really apply. And I would tell all of you, if you think this is too far out, go back and spend a few hours over time and read these articles, and you tell me if this wasn't a dress rehearsal. I think it would be hard for people to refute that. Anyway, on that note, we do need to bid adieu. We are getting into the wee hours of the morning here, and this has been quite an adventure. And, you know, Doug, I got to tell you something, too, and I'll say this publicly right now. I got to give the Elon Musk statement. I am not suicidal, and we better damn well get this out before much time passes.
God's on our side, and if he's on our side, I'm not worried about anything.
Well, I hope, my friend, that you are correct, that God is going to honor this work. You never know. You never know. And anyway, okay, we're going to have to close for the evening. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I think this is probably the most stunning report that we've had on our Doug and Dave Intel report. And we want to thank you for joining us. And make sure you tell your friends about this report, because I guarantee you, if you want to piss off Fauci and Rachel Walensky, you know, the CDC people and the Biden administration, this is the way to do it. This is what they don't want out there. But I would really encourage you, too, if you want to know how bad things will get, go look at Executive Order from Obama, 13603. And if you need to put in the year, it's 2011. Doug, good job tonight. And on behalf of my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, I'm Dave Hodges. You've been listening to the Doug and Dave Intel Report here on the CommonSenseShow.tv, and we will see you back here next time.
All stations, all call signs, prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.